Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We are so blessed that you're joining us. Today is part three of our three-part interview with author Heather Dixon. Now, Heather is not just an author. She's also a speaker, a Bible teacher who understands that, you know, living with a story is not always easy. If you missed either of the first two episodes, the first two parts of this interview, go back and listen to those episodes, the two preceding this one, because there's a lot of information in there that we just don't have time to go back and cover again. But her story is one that will inspire you, to give you encouragement no matter what you are going through. Now, I'm also going to conclude this interview, this portion of the interview, in this episode with two surprise questions that she was not expecting. And we laugh and have a good time. It's not like I'm ambushing her doing something bad, but it's something that she was not expecting. And you're going to laugh right along with us. Her story is just awesome. But let's jump right back into today's interview to conclude the interview with Heather Dixon. By writing this book, how has that helped you in your walk of faith? How has it impacted your own life?
Yeah. So number one, it changed the way I see Jesus. I've been a follower of Jesus. He's been, you know, my savior since I was 12 years old, right after my mom died. I met Jesus because my best friend in middle school invited me, an unchurched introvert who had just lost her mother, to church camp. And all this time, you know, I thought I've known exactly who he was. You know, it was 30 years ago. And, you know, I've known that he was loving and forgiving and compassionate and good. And I knew that he was the Son of God and that he died on the cross to pay the debt for my sin nature. I knew that he was my Savior and he had authority over my life. But I didn't know until I studied the book of Luke how determined he was to love me. And it was, you know, just that attitude perspective of, you know, really, that really made me fall in love with him that much more. You know, every choice he made was intentional. And, yeah. You know, when he looked at the cross, he saw my face. He saw your face. Mm-hmm. He saw the faces of the listeners that are with us today. You know, he lived determined because he was determined to love me. Yeah. And that changes the way that I respond to him and think about him. And it also changed the way that I make daily decisions. You know, studying the choices he made on the cross make me change the choices I make on a daily basis. Right. And it helped me realize that every choice matters. And, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, we can, you know, we're not going to nail it every single day. But in every day we have, you know, a litany of choices presented before us, and every single one can take us a couple of steps closer towards Jesus's will or a couple of steps further away. And here's a practical example of that yesterday, that happened yesterday. You know, it's Monday morning, and Monday mornings often bring lots of pressure and stress. And I was making a list of all the things that, you know, had to be done this week. Before walking through this study and writing Determined, I would have looked at my Monday morning and said, I have so many things to do in this week, and this is just a burden. You know, this is very stressful to me because, you know, I am someone, because of my condition, you know, I have to be very careful about sustainable choices and making sure I don't overcommit or, you know, stay too busy, because it just, it manifests itself physically, and it's not a risk I want to take. Yeah. And so, you know, before studying this, I would have said, you know what, this is just stress. It's all stress. But here's the thing. Nothing on my list would qualify as a hardship. Nothing. I mean, it was the blessing of a full life. It was, you know, doing things like what we're doing today, you know, chatting about Jesus. It's celebrating a birthday dinner. It's, you know, prepping my message for my time in May with the women in Brentwood, Tennessee. You know, it's preparing for my caring for my family and grocery planning and laundry. I mean, all these things that, yes, make up a very full day, but they're not a hardship. And so, you know, the end result, the before and after of walking through Determined, is that now I see, like, this is a gift. Amen. That our life is a gift. And, you know, I think when you have the awareness, like I do, that, okay, you are living with a condition that is dangerous, then you don't want to waste your time in that day. Yeah. And so, you know, I began to see, you know, this, I refuse to see this as a burden, and a hefty to-do list is not an invitation to, you know, to complain or to worry. Instead, it's an opportunity for praise. And it's an opportunity to say, you know what, I have this life to live. And yes, there are going to be ups and downs in it. But this is the life that Jesus has set before me. And I will be determined to, you know, to be exhausted when I hit the pillow every day at night. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we have work to do. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. And life is such a precious gift. And so,
if you have a pulse, Jesus isn't done with you yet.
That's right. That's right. And I want to make a difference until he is.
Amen. Well, share with us one of your favorite habits for success that you have in the book, and explain why it's your favorite one.
Yeah. So, there's a lot. I think, you know, there's convicting ones and comfort ones, and I think the convicting one is you know, realizing that, you know, when we want to emulate, you know, Jesus, a key factor of whether or not we're emulating him is the amount of time we're spending with people that don't know him. Mm-hmm. And that's challenging to me, especially as someone that works and serves in women's ministry, which is often a discipleship encounter. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it bleeds into evangelism and it bleeds into, you know, spreading the gospel, certainly. But, you know, a big bulk of it is, you know, chatting and talking with people who look like me and talk like me and think like me because they love Jesus. And, you know, I think that it's, one of those habits is convicting is just say, okay, I need to find ways to introduce myself to people and be in communities with people that might not know him. I think the other one, the comforting one is, you know, from Luke 6, where, you know, as a mother, I am, you know, I feel a lot of pressure about feeling like I have to know everything about how to answer all my son's questions about life and Jesus and school.
Wait. Mothers don't know everything? I thought they did.
No, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. I'm sharing a massive secret across the world.
We won't tell anybody.
I know, right? Here's the good news, though, is that, you know, Luke 6:45, you know, is out of the overflow of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. And so I was like, man, that is so comforting to me because I don't have to know the answers. I just have to know Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and that, you know, the way we live is determined by what occupies our heart. And so, you know, I mean, I think also, you know, we get so caught up in, you know, what our purpose is, and, you know, what our job is on this earth. And that's, you know, that's a noble and valuable question to ask. But I think at the end of the day, the answer is always we are here to glorify Jesus and our job is to be with him.
Amen.
So that is my favorite habit is, you know, coming from Luke 6. It's just be with Jesus, be Amen. With Jesus. And out of that overflow of your time with him, the rest of your life will pan out in exactly the way that he intends, because your only goal, your only purpose is to be with him.
Amen. Now, we've been talking the whole interview about ministering to other women.
Yeah.
Is your ministry, is your book, is a Bible study, can men use it also, or is it just geared to women? And what do you love the most about ministering to other women?
Yeah, so it really is geared towards women. I am a Southern Baptist writing for a Methodist publisher, so there's the complications behind that. It's really not complicated, but I do, you know, the book is written. It's written for women. Certainly, any man can walk through the life and ministry of Jesus in this way, but it's written for and addresses the thoughts and perspectives that a woman might have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not going to say no to men. But I will say that I think that, you know, it's definitely more geared towards a woman's heart. And women are fun. I love women. I mean, women are, we're so much fun. I mean, we cook like the Dickens, and, you know, we care for people. And I have really found women have a really huge hunger for Jesus and for his word. And so that's why I love ministering to women, you know, because I think that women are have a great, and not that men don't, but just my experience has been, you know, women really, they hunger for Jesus, and they hunger for a community that shares Jesus with one another. And that's really beautiful. So women are fun.
Amen. Well, as we're getting ready to close, I want to ask you to do something.
Okay.
I read on your website that you like to imitate foreign accents.
Oh my gosh, Bob.
So I want you to give us a couple of your favorite examples.
Okay. It's always going to end in Asian Indian.
I read that.
I don't know why. Okay, so here is one that comes from... we have the Jesus Storybook Bible. When my son was younger, we read from that, and there's the passage in it about it's about Babylon and the Tower of Babel.
Okay.
And there's a word from that my son will always he just dies laughing when I say this. I don't know. Sons think their moms are the funniest things on earth until they meet other women. So right now he still thinks I'm funny. But it's talking about how God, you know, is messing up their language and they can't understand each other. And so there's a line from it goes, "Tickle your bucket hat, no."
Say that again.
Tickle your bucket hat, no. Tickle your bucket hat, no. Yeah. And so I always start out with this, you know, maybe it's Scottish, I don't know. And then, you know, I'll say, hey, I'll read some of the determined study bit to you in Asian. And I can't believe you're asking me this in Asian. studying the choices he made on his way to the cross made me change the choices I make on a daily basis. It helped me realize that every choice matters and that the choice to live like Jesus is the path to abundant living.
See, that does sound Scottish, but I can also hear like India, Pakistani in there.
Right. I'm all over the place. Now, my son could nail it for you. He is really freakishly good at it.
Amen. Well, while we're talking about your website, The Rescue Letters, tell us what people could expect when they visit your website.
Yeah, so there's a couple of issues, a couple of main topics that I write on and teach on, and number one of those is Bible study. I do walk through a group. I lead a group of women. This is on Facebook, but there's a connection to it on my website. Where, you know, my goal is no dusty Bibles. You know, our goal in this group is no dusty Bibles, and that, you know, so I want to bridge the gap between intense Bible study and dusty Bibles. So we just walk through reading plans and just opening up the Bible daily in this casual environment. So Bible study, number one, is my jam there. Number two, you know, we're going to talk about bucket list living. I think that as I had this diagnosis, you know, that became one of the top of my priorities in life. And, you know, I mean, the end of the story is bucket list living is living like Jesus. But we do talk about how to embrace that perspective. You know, we talk about anxiety a lot. I have a lot of the people in my community deal with anxiety, and I do too. You know, you don't walk through a chronic illness or anything like that without, you know, becoming BFF with anxiety. So we talk about that. We talk about just, you know, Christian living and encouragement and pep talks. You know, I mean, I want to give you a pep talk to go out there and live your life well and live it for Jesus. And sometimes there's humor. Depends on how much coffee I've had. sometimes there's not. But those are kind of the general topics. Anxiety, Christian living, Bible study, bucket list living, and you know, having joy as you do all of those things. So.
Yeah, I love your website. I went
thank you.
And I highly encourage people to visit and look around and subscribe. And there's one more thing I want you to explain, though, because I understand, you know, you're, like you said, about the humor aspect.
Yeah.
Tell us a story about the field trip to Duke Gardens.
Did someone plant this? Did someone plant this to you? Oh my gosh. You really want me to share the story?
Sure. I thought it was humorous.
Okay. Well, I'll share it to you now.
And the only reason I ask is because it's public knowledge. You
It is public. It is public knowledge. And I can't ever share this when I'm speaking because I'm usually at an event where we're eating, and I won't do that to my girls.
Hopefully you're not listening to this while you're eating breakfast, folks.
I know. This is your warning. Put down the food. So, yeah. So a couple years ago, we were at Duke Gardens in North Carolina. Is this magnificent park and garden. It's just got every plant and flower imaginable. And so we were going on a field trip with my son. And to Duke Gardens, so I meet him there, and the bus shows up, and I'm there with some chaperones, and I'm all virtuous because I think I'm going to chaperone, when really I don't care about chaperoning at all. But that's another story for another day. I mean, I do. I love chaperoning. But I had my camera. I wanted to take pictures and enjoy the day. Well, we get there, and there's no docent, and there's no tour guide. And so they're like, here, parents, here's, 16 kids, have a good time, go on your own. I'm like, well, great, I'm actually going to have to chaperone on this thing. So, okay, so then in walks my son's student teacher, who is blonde, bless her heart, and my son loves blondes. And for those of you listening, I am not blonde. So it's just a little thorn in my side that he always crushes on the blonde women, but he does. Anyway, so he is in love with this little teacher, and she comes to join our group. I'm like, this is great. So we're going to walk around with her because she is very interested. I mean, it's probably because she's getting ready to get her degree and she hasn't entered the real world yet. And she is just super enthusiastic about teaching these kids, and I adore it. It's like, great, I'm going to let her take the wheel. So we're walking around, and what you need to know about this time of the year is that it is late March in North Carolina, and that means that it is allergy season, and we are sneezing our heads off. It's crazy down here. And so, we're walking around, and at this point, we come to the tulip garden in Duke Gardens, and it's, probably it's like the pinnacle of everything at this time of the year at Duke Gardens, because it's just thousands of tulips. It's really, really quite mesmerizing. And so we're getting there, and I feel this giving you your last warning to put down your food. I feel the slightest bit of snot slide down the back of my throat. I'm like, okay, well, it's not a big deal. I will just swallow it because this is just what we do in North Carolina. And so I swallow it, and we move on, and the kids are like trampling around, and his student teacher is pointing out all these wonderful details, and they're just learning so much stuff. And I feel another thing of snot, and it's bigger. And at this point, you can't swallow it. Yeah. Like, you can't let all that stuff sit in your stomach. So, I got to do something with this. And here's what you need to know about me is that I do not spit well, and I cannot huck a loogie. So I can't I'm blushing saying that word. So I'm like, okay, I got to do something with this, but I can't leave the kids because our student teacher is somewhere off because she's followed some train of education, but I still have kids around me. And so I can't walk away from them. I am fresh out of tissues. There's really nothing I can do but figure out, a safe place where I can spit this thing, because it's just sitting in my mouth. I'm so sorry. It's such a terrible story. So, okay. So I walk up, there's a cedar tree. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to spit this. I'm going to hide behind the cedar tree, and I'm going to spit it on the ground, and it'll be fine, and no one will see, and we'll walk away. Right. So I start hawking, and I am, again, terrible at this part of humanity. I can't do it. I never learned how to do it. And so I did it, and I spit it. And it lands, instead of on the ground, it lands in the cedar tree, about chest height, perfect height for a kid's head. And it's just glistening there, a little teardrop, actually a large teardrop. And it's just hanging right there so perfectly. Okay, so I'm like, great, let's get these kids away from the cedar tree. Well, in comes my son's best friend, actually. A blog post doesn't share that detail, but it's his best friend. And he comes up, and he sticks his nose right up in my loogie on the tree. And why he is fascinated with the cedar tree. Like, we have 1,000 tulips around us, Bob.
Yeah.
Why? Like, it's a cedar tree. Like, we have cedar trees all over North Carolina. Why? But he is fascinated with this tree. And so he sees my Lukey sitting there, and he sticks his nose right up on it. He's like, what's that? Because they're soaking up all this knowledge, and he wants to learn something. I was like, oh, my gosh. And so I'm just sitting there. I'm like, do I tell him to, like, surely he's not going to touch it. I mean, why would you touch it? Well, he doesn't touch it because the student teacher comes over to investigate with him. And so she comes over there and she sticks her nose up into it. She's like, you know, back away. Let me investigate this. And so she sniffs my loogie. And I'm frozen. I'm like, I cannot move. And like a normal, decent human being, listen, don't read the Bible with me because I'm not a decent person. I mean, really, I'm not. And so, like, she sniffs it, and I don't move. And so she's like, well, maybe it's sap. Let me taste it and see if it is sap. So I kid you not, I am not making the story up. She dips her finger into my loogie and puts it in her mouth. I'm giving everyone a moment to collect themselves here. She ate my loogie.
I'm glad this isn't on video right now.
Be red as a beet. I'm red as a beet right now. I can't even share. I'll never be able to share the story from the stage because I would pass out from embarrassment. So I am just like I cannot even move. Like I'm speechless. And so she tastes it. She's trying to figure out if it's sap. And then she scrunches her little precious innocent senior in college face up, and she says, I don't think that's sap. And then she's like, that's really disgusting. She's like, kids, move along. We're not going to mess with that anymore. And then, like, as we're walking away, the best is like, so I'm like, quickly, I'm like, yes, kids, move along. Let's hustle. We have to go eat lunch. And the student teacher is probably not going to eat a bite of her lunch. And so she's walking next to me, and her face is still just confused. She's like, I really, that was not a good idea. And I just, you know, I shared this story with my family, and my mother-in-law was like, why did you not tell her? I'm like, how do you tell someone, I'm sorry, you're about to eat my loogie. Please stop. Like, you can't tell someone that. I don't know. I'm a terrible person. I love Jesus, and I'm a terrible person.
And that's why you need to have Heather's Bible study.
That is not living like Jesus, friends. I failed to live like Jesus that day.
Oh, I read that. I was rolling on the floor because I could just picture it. You're so artistic in your words.
You know, oh, thank you.
Like, I was like, oh my God, I got to slip this into the interview.
Well, I'm glad you did because I can't ever share this publicly because it's just not, this is the only platform I'd be able to talk about that.
Liz, I'm glad we weren't on video because I got tears coming down my face right now. Just picturing that.
Oh, gracious. Oh.
But yeah, and like I said, the only reason I brought it up is because it was public knowledge on your website.
Oh yeah, it is public knowledge. Someone, you know, I was at a gathering the other night, and my son's best friend's mom, she came up and she asked me. She said, "Do you think Mrs. So and So? I call her Miss Doe in the post because I don't want to call her out and embarrass her." And she was like, "Do you think she knows, or is she told?" I was like, "I don't know, but if she does, she's never going to face me." Like, it probably got back around to her. Maybe, I don't know. I feel like I need to fund her classroom or something and just like anonymously send office supplies and classroom supplies to her. Amen. Oh, bless her.
Amen. Well, what were we talking about? Oh, your book.
Now, this is the best part.
But Heather, I thank you for sharing that. I think.
Oh, of course. Thanks so much for chatting with me today. This was so fun.
If someone wanted to reach out to you to ask a question, maybe to do an interview like this, how can they get in touch with you? We gave your contact info at the beginning of the program, but I want to do it again. How can they get in touch with you?
Yep. So email heather@therescuedletters.com, or if you just want to go to my website, therescuedletters.com, there's a little button on the menu that says contact, and there's a great contact form. You can get it to me either one of those ways, and that would be it, and I'll be right there. And if I don't respond immediately, it's because I'm trying to Google how to figure out multiplying fractions.
Amen. And your book, Determined Living Like Jesus in Every Moment, is it available in bookstores as well as on Amazon?
It is. It's at Amazon. It's at Christian Book. It's at Barnes & Noble. It is at Cokesbury for sure. Books a Million. I think I've seen it at Target. It's usually, it's online mostly. I don't know. It's a Bible study, so a lot of book retailers, don't carry a lot of physical Bible studies. Right. The online is the best place to get it, but you can get it at every major retailer online.
Amen. And I'll put links to to get it on Amazon in the show notes. Make it easy for someone. All I got to do is click the link.
Amen. Yeah, folks, thank you. Appreciate
this that. This Bible study, the book Determined, Living Like Jesus in Every Moment, this is a great book that if you're a woman listening to Heather today, you need to add your personal library and allow her to minister to you. If you're a man, you should purchase this book for that woman in your life that you care about. Matter of fact, buy one for your wife and buy one for your mother as well. Amen. Pastors, you should reach out to Heather. You need to talk to her about possibly coming in to talk to your church or to do Bible study with your woman's group. I know she'd be an awesome speaker for you. Just make sure it's not an allergy season.
This is true.
We're still sticking with the Bible here. The Apostle Paul said, "Bear with me a little in my folly." So we're just dealing with that.
That's right.
Just click the links below in the show notes to get in touch with Heather and to purchase her books. Amen. Heather, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the program today.
Ditto, Bob. Thanks so much for having me on. And thanks to you listeners for spending time with us today. I know you have busy days, and we appreciate you spending it with us.
You bet we do. Amen. Please stay in touch, Heather, because I'd love to have you back on again in the future.
Thank you. I will. I'd love that.
Right. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. It has been awesome. For Heather Dixon and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.